Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning, you may wonder why I chose the title for today's show in this manner. Or you may be curious as to the origin of this title. Well, it is taken from Hebrew of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And let me just say it to you once. The title is, "And her face was the same face no more to her." We are studying from 1 Samuel chapter 1, as I said a moment ago, and we are talking about, or we have been studying, the cause or causes of spiritual discontentment. And we have looked as, well, we have studied the spiritual life of Hannah. She was the wife of Elkanah, who was an Ephraimite. And the name Ephraimite means I shall be doubly fruitful. Hannah's husband Elkanah also had another wife by the name of Peninnah. Her name means jewel. Hannah's name means grace. In chapter 1 of Samuel, verse 3, we read, "Year after year, this man went up from his towns to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord." May I say to you at this time that Hannah lived during a very dark period in the history of Israel. Apostasy was rampant, as exemplified in the following chapters in the behavior of Hophni and Phinehas, who were the sons of Eli, the high priest. We read that the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb, and because this was a reality in her life, Peninnah, that is Jewel, provoked or harassed Hannah continually. And Peninnah knew that Elkanah, her husband, all loved Hannah. Now, it is interesting, there's a very powerful dynamic within Elkanah's home, because we read that he loves Hannah, but we never read that he loved Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had been prolific. She had had several children, and so her life should have what she wants in life. She has her husband. She has a family. But then there is the presence of Hannah, whom Elkanah loves. And evidently, this love of Elkanah did not extend to Peninnah. And so she set out to persecute Hannah in a very, very negative manner. And, of course, persecution is always negative. But she would continually, verse 6, provoke Hannah. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And so this was a consistent pattern on the part of Penina toward Hannah. It is interesting that in verse 7 establishes once again the tradition of this family that was introduced to us in verse 3 year after year. Elkanah went up to worship the Lord. And in verse 7 we read, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her. So she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Or a lot of sons. Verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Now, this is very, very important that in Hebrew, this word bitterness, once again, is from a root, is from the root mar, which means, that is M-A-R, mar, and it means a drop or flowing down. It is a Hebrew adverb. And so we read, in bitterness of nefesh, which is a Hebrew word for soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. So we have her state, bitterness of soul. And as we read through the text, we gain a deeper insight into this, this godly woman who was having a hard time spiritually. That is, she was having it bad. And I want you to notice that in spite of Penina's continual harassment, Hannah never let her have it. She never went back at her. She never returned the harassment or which included, I'm sure, a much verbal abuse. She never returned this to Penina. This woman has a wonderful character. But we see what had gone on in her life. In verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And so, Hannah had become emotionally stuck. She had hit a spiritual wall, as it were. And she wants to be free. And so she takes a very severe spiritual condition and she speaks to God. Hannah's prayer, in her prayer life or her prayer to God, will be very specific. And in verse 11, we read that she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, that is, Lord of Armies. Or Lord of that which goes forth. Tahana is very intelligent. She knows exactly what she is saying and to whom she is saying it. She knows that she is speaking to God. And she, in bitterness of soul, please keep that in mind. In bitterness of soul, and notice her parallel consciousness of the presence of God. It is very important for us to be aware of what is going on with her. She makes a vow in verse 11 saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now notice that Hannah will not give her life to anything that is less than what it should be. This is a godly woman. When her husband tried to talk with her, we do not read that her behavior toward him was negative in any manner. But we do know that she was closed within herself. She was closed off. So we see something about the character of this woman. She goes before God in bitterness of soul. She makes a vow. She asks specifically for a son. And then she tells God that she will, if he would give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Now, I want you to see here, this is the if-then formula. If you, then I. Will. If you will, then I will. So we have that the if-then formula set up in this prayer. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. So this is a highly emotional state. And she is very serious. She wants to be relieved of her misery, and not only that, she wants a son. She wants her life to be different. She wants her life to be changed by God. She knows that she does not possess the power to change herself, but what she does possess is a determined will. We never read that she is in any way a stubborn person, because we know that stubbornness is not a positive trait. But we do read that she is a determined woman. She is determined to come up out of her negative situation. Now, we read that the Lord shut up her womb. And we read about Peninnah's harassment. And so this is not a woman who is given to self-induced misery, but there is misery in her life. It is not autogenic misery. That is, it is not derived out from herself. Hannah is a person who is in the midst of a spiritual battle that is real. And the spiritual battle is taking place within her own nefesh, her own soul. And she goes before the Lord in a very purposeful and deliberate manner. She speaks to the Lord of armies. Let us read on. Verse 13, Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." So that is Eli's prescription. And so this is the instrument that Eli has used to diagnose, as it were, Hannah's condition. This is the tool that he has brought. His prejudice, his preconception, he has used his prejudices and preconceptions as an overlay, which tells him, gives him the information he needs about another's situation. Isn't it interesting that he has judged her without knowing really about what is going on with her spiritually? Now, it is interesting that instead of going directly to the high priest and saying, "Eli, I need to talk with you because you're the priest and the high priest, and I know that you have spiritual discernment, and you can help me with my situation." No. She does not go to her husband. She does not go to, according to the text, anyone other than God. She goes directly to God. She has that direct access to God. She does not go to any intermediary. She goes directly to God. And so, verse 15, she graciously says, "Not so, my Lord." Hannah replied, "I am not a woman." She says, "I am a woman who is deeply troubled." So she tells her story. She gives a synoptic picture of where she is. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer." She did not need to artificially medicate her situation. That is to exacerbate her condition. So I have not imbibed in wine or beer. I did not go or seek any type of medication in order to mask temporarily my situation. Because after the drink is gone, then my situation remains. These things do not change unless they're is positive action. So Hannah had that clarity in her life and in her heart. She says, "I have not been drinking beer or wine. I was pouring out my soul." And I like the connection between "I have not been drinking beer and wine. However, I was pouring out my soul." That is very powerful, too, because we read in verse 10 the word bitterness, and the phrase bitterness of soul, which from the root mar, which means a drop or flowing down. And so Hannah states her case to God and what she desires. She uses the if-then formula in her prayer, and in response to Eli, who is not cognizant of her situation, She says, no, do not take your sin for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. And so Tamar, that is the bitterness that is in her life. Hannah is releasing herself of this spiritual pathology. She is unburdening her soul. See, until she is relieved of this poison, this mar, this bitterness, she cannot be free. She cannot have a life that is positive or filled with meaning. She cannot be free. Indeed, hitherto her life has been characterized by dysphoria, which is an emotional state characterized by anxiety, depression, or unease. And please let me say at this point that dysphoria is the opposite of euphoria. And euphoria is defined as an intense feeling of well-being, elation, or happiness, excitement, or joy. Now, she has gone before God because she wants a new life. She wants a new life. Verse 16, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. This is the turning point in Hannah's life. She has gone before the Lord of armies. She has stated her case. She has made a vow. She has used the if-then formula. This is a very, very intelligent woman with great spiritual discernment. She has accurately diagnosed her condition, and she knew to take all of this directly to God, and she left it there. Everything she asked God for, she left before God to do his will. She has poured out her soul. She has given or spoken everything to God that she has needed to say. She has poured out her soul. She has left nothing out. She says, I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. See, she knows what she is doing. She said in verse 18, in response to Eli, may your servant find favor in your eye. See, just because Eli misunderstood her, misjudged her, she was not going to be disrespectful and say something negative to him after she had just finished praying to God. She wanted God's blessing, and she was going to live her life and walk in such a manner that God would be caused to bless her life. How do we know that Hannah was serious about what she asked? Well, she took action. She took action. There's nothing here in this entire passage about Hannah having passive faith. We know that she was serious about what she wanted because she went directly to God. She laid out her case before God. and notice what happened to her. May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way. And notice the change in her life was immediate. Then she went away and ate something. Her recovery has already begun. She went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. In the Hebrew, it reads, and her face was the same face no more to her. Her life had indeed changed. The physiognomy of her face had indeed changed because God had made a change within. Now, instead of bitterness of heart, she has the light of God within. And so she is able to show outwardly what she is inwardly. Her life has been decidedly and forever changed. Now notice what else happens to her. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. So she continued her family tradition of worship. Notice what happens. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. This is so wonderful that now she is able to sexually respond to her husband. And he had been very patient with her. He loved her. And so she left her situation before the Lord. And her face was the same face to her no more. That is, her heart changed. She prayed to God. She poured out her soul to the Lord. This was intense prayer. She let God know her intense, real desire. And the Lord noted the seriousness of Hannah's request. Her face was the same face no more to her, and she was able to eat. That is, her desire for food, not merely to eat without taste on the palate. She was able to taste and enjoy her food, the flavor of her food, the joy and delight of food returned once again to her heart. Because why? She had been set free. She was no longer stuck in bitterness because like bitterness, cut off true joy and peace. She is no longer in a state of dysphoria. Now she is on the other end of that. She is able to have a sexual relationship with her husband and enjoy the relationship with him too. The Lord remembered her. And so we read, in the course of time, and gave birth to a son, she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. See, this woman trusted God. She believed God. And God blessed her life. God changed her situation. If you need your situation changed this morning, or you know of someone who needs a change of situation this morning, tell them about Hannah and about the God who answers prayer, intense prayer. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.